It's so good to be here with you again. sorry if I croak a bit, but it will hold out, really, honest it will. if you don't know me and have not seen me before, I'm from Hull. I was brought up in Hull. Well, you probably can tell by the accent. I've lived in Hull all my life, and I'm the pastor of the Elim Church in Hull. And I've been a few times, and every time I come, I've said it before and I'll say it again, it's a bit like being at our own church. It's a bit like being at home. It always feels like family, and you always make us feel so welcome. And so thanks for asking us again, Sue. And I always enjoy coming. And you've changed your chairs. It makes it look bigger, don't you think? It just makes it look bigger. And yeah, you feel a bit nearer. That's nice, isn't it? So anyway, we at our church, we've been talking about Jesus as the King. And one of the things that we've been looking at is Jesus being the eternal King. The eternal King. Now, it fell to me one week to talk about Jesus as the eternal King. And I thought, oh, what am I going to say? Because we know he's eternal, but what are we going to say about it? And in Jeremiah, it tells us that the Lord is a true God. He is the living God, the eternal King. So we know he is. In the Psalms, it says the Lord is King forever and ever. And your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. So we know that he is the eternal King. But what does that actually mean for us? And one of the reasons why I chose this for today was for the verse, really. So I'm reading from Hebrews. It is only one verse. So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. So if you've got your Bible, you can look at it. Or if you've got your Bible on your phone, you can get that out. And I'll trust that you're not doing text or Facebooking or anything like that. The first time I saw somebody do that, I thought they were actually on the phone while the person was speaking. But no, it was the Bible on the phone. So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. So it's just the one verse. It's a whole collection of different verses that the writer to the Hebrews just slots in towards the end of the book there. And it simply says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You can leave your Bible open because we'll be coming back to it in a minute. It's a verse that we might even know off by heart. We probably maybe didn't even need to look to see it. But then it's a verse then maybe because we say it a lot, we don't often think about what that means for us today. So Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I did have a little look up in the dictionary about what eternal meant, because we often think of it as just, you know, going on forever. But it means without beginning or end of existence. It's not just about what's to come, but it's without a beginning or without an end of existence. And I happen to own a thesaurus, because I'm strange like that. And here's some of the other words that you could use instead of eternal: everlasting, never ending, endless, undying, indestructible, imperishable, permanent, enduring, infinite, boundless, timeless, immeasurable, and limitless. All of those things you could use as well as eternal. Sometimes you might have used those words with things that might be going on in your life or with jobs that you've got to do. We're just in the process of, me and John, my husband there, we're just in the process of tidying out the loft at our house. Now, we've been living there for 30, 34 years. So you can imagine how much junk we've collected in 34 years. And honestly, the job seems endless. It is never ending. Of course, there will be an end to it eventually, but we've been doing it now since the new year. And we've made a little bit of a dint, but we've got a long way to go, let's just say that. so some things in our lives seem never-ending and endless, and I'm sure you've used those words. But the thing that I want us to look at is this, that Jesus Christ is eternal. He is unending. He is indestructible. He is imperishable. He is permanent. A lot of the things in our lives these days are like throwaway. I've actually heard, you've probably heard of it. I didn't till I looked. It's like throwaway fashion. You buy it cheap because you want to keep up with the fashion, and then it doesn't last very long, but you just throw it away and then you go on to your next thing. There's so many things that are not permanent. Jobs are not permanent now. Years ago, you would have been in the same job all your life. They're more temporary now, or 0-hour contracts even. So a lot of the things in our life are not necessarily permanent. Photographs. I am rubbish at not taking a photograph, being in a photograph. You only have to ask John. My photographs just don't turn out very good. I talk too much, so my mouth is often open like that. It just catches me wrong. So the old style photograph, where it used to be on a film and then you'd get it printed off, and there's the photograph forever, isn't it? Unless you can get hold of it and tear it up. There is the photograph forever for you to look at, or for somebody to use against you. Nowadays, it's, if you see a photograph of yourself, you've taken it and it's really, really bad. It's like delete, 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 and you can get rid of it really quickly. But Jesus Christ is permanent. In the verse, it says Jesus Christ is the same. He is the same. He is permanent. He is limitless. There is nothing that he cannot do. He is immeasurable. We could sit here all day and talk about the things that Jesus can do, but we still would not be able to measure it all. He is immeasurable. He is limitless. There's no end to the things that he can do. In Isaiah, it talks about the coming baby king. Unto us a child is born, and he's called the Prince of Peace. In the Message version, he's called the Prince of Wholeness, they call him. And it says, no, there is no end to the wholeness that he can bring. There's no end to the wholeness that he can bring. And he brings a wholeness, whether it's a physical wholeness, a spiritual wholeness, emotional wholeness, that he can bring. And there's no end to that wholeness that he can bring. He is limitless. In Revelation, says this chapter 1, I am the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. Who is and who was and who is to come. So he is the same now, the one who is. He is the same, the one who was and the one who is to come, never changing. So let's have a little look at the verse that we read. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So let's have a little look at what it means by yesterday. Well, could be yesterday as the day, but we're talking about everlasting, without beginning. So I'm reading from Colossians chapter 1. So if you've got your Bible, you could turn to it again. It's only a couple of verses. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. And it just tells us a little bit about Jesus. Says verse 15, chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the creator. He was there in the beginning, right at the very front of your Bible. It says, in the beginning, God created. And there was Jesus, our God, the eternal King, creating. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So he is the creator. And remembering that he is the creator, we can then think and remind ourselves that he is our creator. He is our creator. Psalm 139 verse 13 says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He created us, and he's such a creator that he creates unique. Unique. We are all unique. We are none of us the same. Our son-in-law, my daughter, they're doing their first messy church today in Southampton. And they're doing about God the Creator. And they're looking at how we are made uniquely. And they are, bless them, using their twins, our grandsons, as an experiment. Now, I know that sounds bad, but it's not as bad as it sounds. So they made a video of the twins answering questions. They're only 3 years old, and they split them up, and they just asked them a few questions. So to prove the point that even though they both look alike, they are completely unique. So they all like different things. They both like different things. They both have a different favourite colour. They both have a different favourite nursery teacher. They did, however, both like the same food, which was interesting because it was Gruffalo crumble, whatever Gruffalo crumble is. I think it's in the Gruffalo story. And then they chose a different favourite toy to prove that even though they look the same, they are unique. And God creates us unique. And you might think you're the same as someone. You might have a sister or a brother, and you might have similar things that you like to do, or you might look similar, but we are not the same. God creates us uniquely. And he knows all about us, our innermost being. Our innermost being, everything about us, he knows. But it's not just about our original, our creation and how he made us in our mother's womb. But it's also about how he can create today. Because we're talking about Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today. He was the creator then. In the beginning, God created, but he's still creating today. He is still a creator. If you are a creative person, you will not be able to stop creating. And you will be creating unique things and different things. I know Pat does different cards, and I know that sometimes she's going about having to do the same card, but inside of her, I'm fairly certain she'll be also wanting to create something unique and something different. And that's what God wants us to do in our lives today. He wants to still be creating and doing something new in us. And he can create like life, he could create peace, he can create anything that we need. He can renew us. When we come to Jesus, when we come to him, the Bible tells us then that we are new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Psalm 51 verse 10 says, "This, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." So it's about not just about accepting that he creates us, but about saying to God, come and do something new in me, God. Come and do something new in me today. Come and stir me up. Come and create something new. Restore me. Come and rebuild in me. In the message, it says like this, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. I don't know what your life is like. Maybe it's not quite as chaotic as some, but there's still things that go on in our lives. And it's good to say to God, come and do something about this, Lord. Come and just take it all and create something new. Come and stir up something new in me. And the same Jesus that was there in the beginning, the same God that said, let there be light, can speak over our lives today. He can speak over our lives. Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be peace, and there was peace. Let there be healing, and there was healing. The same Jesus, and the same Jesus that we read about in the New Testament, as Sue told us a story. Oh, that was quite good. I enjoyed that story of Simeon. I also like the Chocoholic game. I quite like that game. But that same Jesus, the same, he is the same. In our verse, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that same Jesus that we see in the New Testament, the healer, the deliverer, the saviour, the redeemer, the comforter, the one who is compassionate, is the same Jesus today as he was then. We read about, we sang about water you turn into wine. And he opened the eyes of the blind. The same Jesus can move in our lives today, in our families' lives today. I often think about, do you ever think about the day that you gave your life to Christ? That you found him as a saviour. It might have been 3 days ago. It might have been 30 odd years ago. Well, won't go any further than that. That sounds like a long time. But that same saviour that changed your life. The same Jesus that opened your eyes to see. Can do the very same today for your family or your friends that you are praying for. Because often we pray for people and it seems like they are never going to see. They are never going to turn to him. They are never going to know Jesus as Savior. But look, he did it for you. He opened your eyes so that you could see. He stirred you up with his Holy Spirit. And so the same Jesus, the same Saviour can do the same for you, for your family, for your friends, for your neighbourhood, the neighbourhood around the church. You know, as Christians, we are like shining lights for him. And even when we don't know it, we're shining a light. And even if you don't know it, and even if you don't feel like it, this place here and your place across the road is shining a light for Christ. Even if you don't always see anything happening and it doesn't always feel anything, it's shining a light for him and it's standing out for him. It's bringing his presence here, right here in Wheelsby Street. Am I right? Wheelsby Street, right here in Grimsby, shining his presence. It'd be the same for us in Hull, shining the light there on Princess Avenue. The same Jesus, he is the same today. We are shining the same light, his light, into our communities. Around our families, we carry his presence. Let's have a little look at forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. We talked about the other words for eternal, unending, everlasting. It goes on forever. And often when we think of forever, we do think of eternal life, eternally with Jesus, seeing his face. But we have got a lot of forever to go before we get to that forever. And my mum always had, she had a favourite saying, and it was this: I don't know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future. It's a very popular saying, I know. I don't know what my future holds, but I know the one who holds my future. And sometimes we don't know what forever means for us. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We don't know what this week's going to bring. We don't know what the next few years are going to bring. We don't know what the future holds. We might have a little guess if you know something's coming up this week. But we don't really know what the future holds. But we do know the one who holds our future. Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So because we know him, because we have known him today, because we have known him during this week, because we have known him in our lives, we can then look to the future, knowing that he holds our future. And knowing him, Psalm 31, verse 14, 15 says this: But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. And when we think about the future, when we think about this verse, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, it's about trusting in him. Trusting him. Holding on to him. Knowing who he is, knowing what he's done, knowing what he can do, and trusting in him. Because we might not know what the future holds, but we know him. We know him, the one who holds our futures. There's a hymn, In Christ Alone, I'm trying to think of the title. In Christ Alone, and one of the lines says this: Jesus commands my destiny. Jesus commands my destiny, not what other people are going to say, not my situation, not my circumstances, not my problems, not my issues, not even my health. Jesus commands my destiny. It doesn't mean to say that all those things are going to go away. It just means that he is commanding our destiny. Our future is in his hands. He is holding our future, and the more that we trust him, the more that we look to him and hold on to him, then the more when troubles come or we're worried or anxious, the more we can say, I know, Jesus, you command my destiny. I know, Jesus, that you hold my future in your hands. We can trust him and know that he is always with us. Always with us. I was so pleased when Sue decided at the beginning to read Psalm 23. It's such a well-known psalm. But it's a psalm that I've been reading all this last week or two when I've not been very well. and I missed the whole of Easter. Can you believe it? Just laid up on a settee going, oh. But Psalm 23, it's been the psalm that I just keep coming back to me and coming back to me. And it just shows us that he is with us. He is with us. He is leading us. He is guiding us. He is moving us forward. I'll try not to say too much or else I'll totally go off. But it's just made me think about how much we need to allow God to guide us and lead us. Because when we do, we end up going the wrong way. And we end up going in the wrong path. And how we just need to sometimes rest in his presence and listen to him and let him be our guide. Let him be the one that leads us as we are trusting him. I was reading a little, it's on the YouVersion. Have you seen it? You can get the YouVersion Bible app. And it has lots of little Bible reading plans. I'm telling you, because if you haven't got it, you could find it. It's free. You get the Bible on for a start, and then you get all these different Bible reading plans. And I found one about Psalm 23. And it was talking about, the lady that wrote it was talking about sheep, actually real sheep, don't like to drink from fast running water. So God says in Psalm 23, I'll lead you beside the quiet waters, and there I'll restore your soul. And I was thinking about how often my life is so busy. Sometimes our life's so busy. And when it's that busy, you can't stop and drink. You can't drink from it because the water's flowing so quickly. You can't stop and drink. And so we have to just find that place where we allow God to lead us and guide us, where into the quiet water where we can be restored, where he restores our soul, and where we know then that he is with us. So whatever comes in the future, we know that every step of the way he is with us. The Bible says that he never leaves us nor forsakes us, but we know that he is with us. Verse 4 of Psalm 23 says this: even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or depending on your version, through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Jesus Christ, who is the same, the one who is our strength, the one who is our refuge, the one who is our portion, our shield, the one who never changes, is with us. So whatever comes in the future, we know that he is with us. We need to trust also that he is leading us and guiding us, and that he will lead us in the right path and not go off on our own way. We need to trust and let him do the driving. If you're a driver and somebody else is driving next to you and you're in the passenger seat, see, that is very hard, isn't it? We was not so long ago went to stay in Southampton with our family, and our daughter drove the car. I was in the back seat with the kids. John was in the front seat, and he said he's still finding it very hard to sit in the passenger seat while our daughter is driving. And sometimes we like to still be the driver even when we're not driving. And you put your foot on the imaginary brake pedal or hold on to the side of the door. Our other daughter was always really pleased when she finally saw me let go of the door. She was driving me around for a bit before I actually let go of the door. But we need to do that with Jesus. We got to let him drive. And sometimes we try and put our foot on the brake and slow him down. Sometimes we don't want to go the way that he's taking us. We want to do things our way. We want to be in control. I'm a bit of a controlling, I'm not controlling, but I like to be in control. But sometimes we've just got to let him have control. We've got to let him be in the driving seat and be led by the Spirit. In Galatians, it tells us to keep in step with the Spirit, keep in step with him. And so we need to keep our eyes fixed on him and keep right in step with him, not just a little bit to the left or to the right, but keeping in step with him and what he is saying for us in our lives. I'm just toying with the idea of telling you a little story. I think I will. It'll be fun. Many moons ago, I was in the Girls Brigade. Have you anybody heard of the Girls Brigade? I was in the Girls Brigade, and we used to do a drill, the marching, and we even entered drill competitions. And I remember once, this has nothing to do with what I'm going to say, but I do remember once that we, in the competition, we were fairly certain we were going to win it. We were definitely going to win it that particular year. And we'd practiced till it was coming out of our ears. And I was the one doing the shouting, because, well, I had the biggest voice. I was the one doing the shouting, you know, attention and all of that. Probably not shout today. But anyway, I was fairly certain we were the best. But we didn't win. Do you know why we didn't win? Because we were too smart. We were too much like the army, not enough like a bunch of girls marching. Anyway, I'm not sore about that at all. Anyway, that is not actually my point, is that when we were practicing, because it all went on being in step. If you were out of step, you were going to lose points. And you had this particular way of, if you were marching along and you got out of step, you had a particular way, everybody learnt it, because you had to do a double take. So you'd be walking along. And I haven't practiced, so I don't think it's going to go right. You would be walking along and you see you're out of step and you do a little like that, a little thing in the middle, and you'd be back on track. You had to learn how to do that. Otherwise, it was definitely not going to work. And that's how we have to be with the Holy Spirit. That's how we have to be. Keep in step with the Spirit. Because if we are in step with him, if we're a little bit out, we'll be going the wrong way. And it won't be going quite right. We need to keep in step with him. Because that way, we can know. Really know the one who holds our future. Every step that we take, we know then that he is guiding us. We know then that he is leading us. We know that he is going to be driving us in the right path and taking us the right way. So we don't need to be afraid of the future, because we know the one who holds our future. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, Jesus said this. The Apostle John, he had this vision. Imagine having a vision of the risen Christ. How awesome must that be? And the whole book of Revelation is John trying to describe what he saw and what he sees and saying what he hears. But he has this vision, and Revelation chapter 1 verse 17. And just before that, he says, he turns around to see the one who is there, the one who has been talking to him. 17, and it's Jesus, the risen Christ. And he describes him. He tries to describe what he looks like. And Jesus says to him, he sees him and he falls down as if he's dead. Is that in awe of the living Christ? And Jesus says to him, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive for ever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Jesus was dead, but he is alive now forever and ever, so we can look to him and know that he holds the keys of death and Hades. So whatever is to come in our future, we know that he is in control, that we can come to him, that we can get comfort from him, that we can be strengthened by him. And we can have an assurance. We can have an assurance because we can know that there is eternal life. Not that we might just happen to have eternal life, but if we come to him, and the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, whoever, doesn't matter who you are, if you believe in Jesus, then we will not perish but have eternal life. This is my last verse now, so you know that we're coming to the end. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And here we have an assurance. I'm just going to leave you with this verse because it assures us that Jesus is in control. Peter says this, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. We have a living hope, not just for the final future of everlasting life, but for our lives now. We have a living hope because Jesus Christ is the same. He is always the same. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. There is our inheritance. We have our inheritance now because we can know him now, but also we can have that assurance that we have an inheritance kept for us in heaven that will never perish, spoil or fade. It is limitless. It is limitless. And Jesus Christ, our Saviour, he is limitless. So I just say, whatever you've got, whatever is in your life, whatever your future holds, hold on to him. Hold on to him. Get to know him. Because the more that you know him, the more that you will feel confident with your future. So shall we just pray? Do you want me to pray, Sue? Let's pray together, shall we?